Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Hallelujah. Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Magnify you. Glorify
you. We worship
you,
and adore
Jesus.
You, Lord.
Look, listen. Who can do that? Except one.
Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify
you. Can try to mandate.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Legislate.
Jesus.
Picket lines. Senate bills. That woman, that little girl, just knew that somebody took her baby because she consented. And thousands, the church left the mind of Christ a long time ago.
Yes, sir.
On how to get all that done.
Jesus.
See, those women that had those abortions, they're hurting
so
bad you can't even describe the pain that they're in. And the guy that paid for it, who didn't want to have to raise it or encourage her, doesn't matter how he's bucking up and macho and he's paying for it on the inside. He's paying for it. But there's already one that's already paid for all that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And there's only one that can take a conscience that's tormented. I don't care if they did it 10 times. There's only one that can take the conscience of a young lady that sold herself last night on the street. Or a guy that just woke up in 5 days in a crack house and wondered what way to go. Why? Why were they drawn to him? Because they knew that there was an unconditional love that poured out of him that said, if you'll follow me, I can make all this stuff new. I can change who you are. And in a moment's time, what 1,000 psychologists cannot do for you. Listen, people. I'm not making fun of it. I know it's real conditions. The church went along with it. There's no... And I know some of you will take exception. I'm sorry. I just have to go back to the original place where all this is found. It's in the Word. There's no schizophrenia. There's no bipolar. There's no this. There's just demonic spirits that invade the minds of people. And they don't know how to get them off.
Yes, sir.
If the love of God was rampant in the church and the delivering, healing power of Jesus, I'm telling you, you never have to have another kind of pill to take you into a place. They sat at his feet. He had love so thick around him. Whatever hole they pulled himself out of the night before, there was compassion without condemnation. And there was an offer tagged to it. Follow me and I'll change your whole life. Your whole conscience of everything that you ever did right up to the moment can be washed away. You can know that you did those things, but yet there'll be such a peace inside of you that you cannot explain. Why is this here? Only one man can do that. A picket line can't do it. Legislation can't do it. Anger and fighting can't do it. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, acquaint yourself with Him this morning. We're going to worship just a little bit more before we do anything else. That's why we're so excited about Him around here. Because He makes the difference. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hola, makarese. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. We exalt You. For hear the word of the Lord. Specific instructions to those who stand here in this place. And all who will receive it at any place. Know this. That the price for which you're standing here was paid. All in Him, saith the Spirit of grace. Do you not know, and can you not conceive, that there are mountains and mountains and mountains of My grace to be provided for you in this life? Inexhaustible plains, countries of grace, inexhaustible to the natural mind, to deal with every kind of inadequacy on your part. For I made room for you. I made room for you in the atonement, not just in your one time coming and being born again, but I made room for every part of your journey in this life, saith the Spirit of grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, know this, that when the torment of being less than, or guilt, or fear of inadequacy before Me comes on you, know this, this is not of Me. For you are far more difficult to your own self and harder to be dealt with by reason of your own self than what I come with. My yoke is easy and My burden is light. For when I approach you, I not only approach you with the sense of change, but I approach you with all the dividends wherewith change can be made,
hallelujah,
saith the Spirit
hallelujah
of God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you,
Jesus. So, imagine this. Imagine this on your mundane Mondays and cloudy sky days and depressive moments clouding in and inadequacies coming against your mind and the riddle of the past, why it did not work out or make sense. Envision this, My arms outstretched between heaven and earth, and His blood paying all the price. For know this, by the sprinkling of this blood is every conscience made pure, saith the Spirit of grace. So, your instruction at weak moments is to lift up holy hands. Whether in a crowd, out of crowd, by yourself, even when you're among those in your heart, lift up your hands inside of your spirit and worship Me for the blood that cannot fail, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So all those, and myself included, why don't we pray this prayer together? Father, I thank You for the blood of Jesus. And for that particular grace, it's coming on me right now.
It's not
just this Sunday, a one-time deal.
I receive
this instruction
for grace
and healing
for my entire life.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why don't you give somebody a great big hug? Why don't you go around and find somebody and give them a hug? Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Would you turn with me in a couple different places? One will be in Hebrews chapter 5. That will be the second place we go to. The other place, in beginning in the first verse, or the first scripture reading, will be in 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to just stretch your faith this way and pray for me if you would. Father, I love you. And not only do I love you, I love them. And I receive their prayers for me. So as they're lifting me up and asking you to help me, I receive that grace. And I can do nothing of myself, but I receive your strength and your grace and your love. The power of the Holy Spirit. I love you, Holy Spirit. Oh, so now, guide us and lead us into all truth, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. My great uncle, Lilburn Thomas, is here today. I'm glad. Hallelujah. We had a family reunion yesterday. It was really good. Really good. Hallelujah. So, we've been talking, or he's been talking a lot about us getting ready to go home. But the exciting part is sandwiched in between that homegoing. And you do know this. I'll talk to you like you do. And many of you do. When we talk about going home, we're talking about a dimension that is coming down here. Everything's going to be changed. But in all relevance of speaking, this is your last place. This is where everything will be changed and the Lamb will come down and the great city, a new heaven, new earth. He's coming back. Now, I'm real sensitive in my spirit when I start talking to people about the economy because I don't want to join in with wrong kind of talk. But it does interest me to talk to money men because I like to, and sometimes I'll find somebody that was real successful and has it already made, and I like to talk to them and talk about what they see and what the possibilities, and finding out that all the way across the board that this is not your grandpa's world. This is not your mother's America, your father's America anymore. Things have changed. And things have changed to a irreversible. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you cannot be blessed in the midst of everything. But the mystique of the American and all of us is that because we saw, and I wasn't there then, I wasn't around in the Great Depression, but it was always like something or somebody came along and picked it up and changed it. There was the Lone Ranger come riding in on a white steed and changed things, and America was once again. And listen, it's got one shot at any of that. It's got one shot of any of that proposed in your thinking, like, could we get back? The only shot that it's possibly got on that line is an all-out, across-the-board kind of revival. That's the only one. Now, other than that, it'll go in and progressively get worse and worse and worse, right up until the Antichrist. And then I know that this one that we just sang about. But this isn't Grandpa's America. It never will be, hardly again, at Mama's or Daddy's. Because I'm talking to these guys and they're saying, even guys that are real sharp about how to put it all together, they're like, I don't know. I don't know how it can be fixed. I don't know how it can be fixed. Now, this is just absolutely not a political meeting of any sort. I just tell you the time. And if you voted or didn't vote against or for, this has nothing, there's nothing suggestive here. Mr. Obama's latest Gallup poll, overall approving, was plus one. Plus one. They said never, ever, 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 as long as they've ever been taking polls, has anybody fallen so fast. See, he doesn't know how to fix it. And all the people that thought he did, they realize he can't fix it. It's changing. And it's irreversible. Except there's one coming. Hallelujah. So you might as well go ahead and move on in to that part of you that is not affected by natural circumstances. And begin to, like Daniel said. Now Daniel, when they moved there, when they moved over into Babylon, they were all excited. When's all this going to quit? And Daniel got a word and he said, now wait a minute. God just told me. He got a prophecy. And he said, it'll settle you down. Because it's not going to be, we're not going back. Not anytime soon. We'll be here 70 years. So go ahead and plant your vineyards. Put your crops down. On and on and on. I'm telling you this. Move in to the horizons of spiritual things and let that be your portion. Because if you're waiting for it to go back to like you knew it, that's not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying you won't be blessed, but your provision of blessing is going to have to come supernaturally now more than ever before. We were drug along and swept along in an economy and in days and in hours, and everybody was saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. But now, we'll find out. Because it'll take you going to that place. Now, look what he said, what Peter prophesied concerning the last times. Somebody asked a question the other day, and it was real good. It led me into this, and actually we'll go into this Wednesday night, those of you that have been following along with us in Ephesians. But we're in 2 Peter 3. Thank you for asking. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, that wasn't necessarily the world, because you wouldn't take that from the world. The world, you know, the guy that's running around drugging and alcohol and your barroom kind of guy, he's not going to scoff at the second coming. He doesn't even necessarily think about that. But the atmosphere of the church was going to be like, oh, everything's just the way it is. But I'm telling you this, the reproving of the Lord Jesus Christ are on those to brighten their minds. We've been doing a series for several weeks, actually for several months, in Ephesians on Wednesday night. And that series is all about waking up. And it's not to the sinner to wake up. It's to the church to wake up. Yes, sir.
And when the church starts waking up, what begins to happen to them is a realization of the times. And a realization of where we need to settle into and what we need to put our focus on. And I said last week, he's coming back and there's something inside of me like a homing device that keeps going off. It keeps beeping. Get ready, because not only are we supposed to be receiving him, but there is our part in all of this. See, real specifically, and all of you that are here all the time know it, we've got a specific mandate. It's to receive a supernatural outpouring that is so supernatural, we go so far into the miraculous that, and we say this almost continually, the blind see and the lame walk, those are all things, but the bottom line is that the harvest that will come in as a result of people looking at the power flow of Jesus Christ, that harvest will be so strong that we will prepare for him as a bride. He's coming back. And he's coming back to receive the harvest of the earth. Now, nothing less than power is going to break people's mindsets the way they are right now. Because they don't believe that he's coming back. They don't believe he's coming back. And no matter what you tell them, or no matter what the church member sitting in the pew next to you, it just feels like life is just going to be like it always is. But what does Peter say here? He says in verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water, it perished." Now he's first talking about creation and then the destruction of that creation through the Noah flood. Verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now," that's where we're at right now, this dispensation, "by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." He's basically saying that same premise, that understanding that there's it's timelessness in God. It's what I was trying to tell you several weeks ago, is this, that whether or not you believe that he's coming or not, see, I just turned 50 in January, I can't believe it, but it doesn't matter how old you are. The word says your life is but a vapor. And what I live, if I live again what I've already lived, it will be so short, I will enter into this dimension. It'll be over for me. And when I go into timelessness, where 1,000 years is as a day and all time, see, the reality of it is those people waiting for this to happen, it's a now thing. It's about to happen right now. And for the rest of us that are of any age, the reality is that we are soon to enter into that. Soon to enter into it. It's going to happen. But before it happens, to those that are waking up spiritually, the call is going out. And the dimensions of their life that they once sought after and thought was so important, they're finding a gravitational pull to the end time events to say, look, none of this matters when you're going to stand before him in such a short time. It's not that it doesn't matter in the sense that love and affection should continue and family and everything that he set up. But if you're trying to build a kingdom to where that all of your thought processes, you're heavy, you're fat on one side and anorexic on the other, to where that all that you're thinking about is this world and the processes of this world and having and going and doing and being, it's soon to be over. So he says this. He says they'll scoff and say, no, it's going to be the same way. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that... This is the reason why God is even waiting to this point in time. Because of His love. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and in godliness? Now see, sometimes I look kind of rogue up here talking to you about not worrying about the house, the car, and all those kinds of things, because that's what the rest of the world seeks after, and that's kind of what the rest of the church world seeks after a lot of times. But I'm telling you, when I say to you, don't worry about it, you'll soon be able to put it in a cellophane bag and throw it over your shoulder, because it is all to be dissolved in the near future. It's all going to burn up. We're going to be in a place where this is all going to be extinguished, and then He's going to restore it with a new heaven and a new earth. But this earth, the core, just like your body is waiting for a glorified body, this earth is waiting for a glorified body. And this earth is going to be restored, and heaven's going to come down, and this monarch, Christ, is going to rule forever out of it. And He's watching your life, and He's watching me, and He's watching us, because the closer we get to this epicenter, the closer we get to Him, and this beacon is going out, and those who can't hear it are just still running like rats, running here and there. And I'm not saying they are. I'm saying they're running a rat race, and they don't understand. And this beacon is going out and saying, win the lost, get them saved, I'm coming home. All of this is about to be over. The whole thing's about to be extinguished. Hallelujah. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, fervent heat. What manner of persons we ought to be in what? Holy conversation. Hallelujah. And godliness. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, that's us, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him in what? Peace, without spot and without blemish. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, this is what we've got to offer. I've failed in the past. I'm trying to make it much more appetizing, so that the love of God draws them in. But what we have to offer is a journey into a kingdom that never ends. And what the church traded off was such a watered-down religion that even after it brought people in, it had nothing to offer them. I'm now telling people, look, and I have to do it not at their expense. I want them, first of all, to realize that once you make the decision to step over into the blood, there's all the grace necessary. Now you are empowered by the Spirit of God not to live out your life. You don't have to do it on your own. He'll help you. And if you fall 1,000 times a day, He'll help you get back up. If you lit that doobie before church, put it out and walk in. But I'm also telling this. Let me tell you something. What you're about to commit to, it is not to be taken lightly. It is a change of who you are. Your spiritual DNA changes the moment you say, Jesus, come into my life. Then it is no longer acceptable to the new nature to sleep around, to smoke around, to snort around. It is no longer. He'll be with you and try to bring you out of. But if you think that there's grace to do that, there's not grace to do it. So I'm telling them, wait a minute. If you're not ready for this, don't do it, because you do need to stop it. You do need to quit it, because it will destroy your life. And it will destroy that life of the new nature that's on the inside of you. Here's the balance. He'll be with you as long as it takes to pull you out of that gutter and that hole. He doesn't forsake you. But if you don't think that it is a choice of righteousness, you're wrong. He said, seeing these, we ought to be in all manner of lifestyle, conversation, holy before Almighty God. And that's who He's coming after. My God. Be diligent to be found in peace without spot and without blemish. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, you just become accountable for who you are. I can't do those things anymore. Well, I want to do them. Well, listen, don't get saved then. But get saved. Because if you get saved, the want to will go away. And if you slip, get under the blood and keep the want to. Keep the want to. Hallelujah. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to his wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. I will stop right there, because we're going to go into some of that Wednesday night, and that's going to be really good. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hallelujah. I just want to read and kind of close up here. Close up shop. The 5th chapter, he says... We've read this. We did a series on this. Verse 12, it says, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong milk meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full or mature age. And this is how they got that way. Even those who by reason of use, and that word is continual, going, 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 use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, you'd think that most... probably be one of the most simplistic, vanilla type scriptures. The discerning of good and evil, I mean, he's talking about a place that is only discernible in your life and the ongoing process of what he wants to perfect in you. That if evil wasn't disguised as good, then you would not have any problem saying, that's not going to be advantageous to my walk, or that will be advantageous. He is describing a place here that he said, for the reason at this point in time, he was giving a chastening to the church. And this is not a chastening. I'm not trying myself to present one. But I will tell you this. As I go into this last day stanza and this last push, I want all the chastening from the Lord I can possibly get. Because the Word says in the book of Hebrews that every chastening for the time, at the moment that you receive the chastening, does not seem... It is sore perplexing to the one who receives it. Now I'm paraphrasing. But afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to everyone that's exercised thereby. And so much of the church doesn't want to be corrected. They don't want to hear. They don't want to. I'm running to the Lord and I'm not perfected in this, but I'm saying, God, my thought processes, my wisdom, what I think is going to get the job done in me and through me, God, correct that.
And He loves that. He loves that.
He loves that yieldedness to say, God, show me. I'm calling my elders on a... I don't have it written down. I just hear from the Lord and I call them and I say, because I want to hear their voice. I want to hear Tim's and Dave's and Gary's voice. I get Kathy or Candy to run off and I want to hear what they're saying. I want to see if what they're saying convicts me. And sometimes it does. I want to hear if in the end I'm running towards the mark, but I'm not beating the air, as Paul said. I'm hearing from God. I'm being chastened of the Lord. And God, do this purging work inside of me, not only with my own prayer life, but God, You've got other voices out there, and I want to hear what those voices are saying. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Give me just a moment. Hallelujah. I wanted to read this because I was trying to exhort it, but it's best read. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And this is His instruction. Wherefore lift up holy hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Hallelujah. It means fall into it. Yield to it. And He said, don't let that, the feeble knees, don't let it be turned out of the way. He's actually given an analogy here of a runner. Don't become twisted ankled as a result, but yield yourself, your members over and say, okay, God. And you know how He chastens us? It's by His Word. It's by His Word. It's not the next car accident. It's by His Word. It's hearing His Word and ascribing to His Word. He said in that chapter that we were reading, He said, strong meat belongs to them. But this is the interesting part. He says, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again. Meaning they heard it once. But what set them into a recession in their own heart? Is it possible to hear something, be a part of something, and hear it and hear it and hear it, and 20 years later be less effective in that than what it was when you first heard it as a babe? This is what Paul is saying, or this is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. And the reason why they were that way is they became dull of hearing. And dull of hearing is this. When you study that whole chapter, you understand this. When you hear the Word and you don't do the Word, it becomes something that is more of a weight to you and a deterrent to going into light than when you heard the Word and you moved on the Word and you processed it in your life. Look at this. He says in verse 14, again I read, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, who by reason of the use of their senses exercised. Senses here is not spiritual senses. It's the psuche. It's the soulish man. It means exercise it. It'd be like gymnazo, the gym. Push it off of you. Push it out of the way by the process of staying in fellowship and staying in discerning what is good and evil, meaning, God, I'm going to make some choices in the next 20 years going into revival that's either going to pull me in closer to the pulse of what You're doing,
or it's going to detour me into a path that I think that I know and I think that I understand, and yet if I can't make those finite, those real small decisions, it may lead me a different path. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you praying for me? I pray that you pray for me as I go along. Let me say this. For a moment you may say, go ahead and just say it, Pastor. But it deserves much more prefacing than that. It deserves it so that it could not be at all possibility. And I'll give the first disclaimer is that this is not on my part. I have no intent on correcting anything. This is an admonition of where we're headed for your part. And there's no condemnation in this. No inspection of anyone, no fruit inspection, no anything. And yet, the preface of this is to say, if you hear this, this is where we're headed, and it is on your part to what you receive. Now, I will tell you this. Here's the cheat sheet on this. Before I ever say it, you're already thinking, what's he going to say? Before I ever say it, know that the way that you think about things or respond sometimes, if you'll give yourself a moment, you'll think differently than if you just respond too quickly in your mind. Here's all the disclaimers. Some of you, privately, I know where you're at. And I know I've had discussions with some of you privately. This is not towards you. I know how some of you are dealing with great prudence with some of these issues. And I couldn't do better myself. And to the ones that I haven't spoken to, and the ones I haven't privately talked to, this is not against you either. If you had or have, there's no pastor's club here. There's no mighty 50s or mighty hundreds. In fact, we don't even have a membership where somebody tells me, hey, I want to join. I say, good, keep coming. My God, I wish I could give 1,000 prefaces so nobody could get it wrong. But then again, where do you leave off at? You just have to go with the spirit of it. Oh, what's another disclaimer? This, I'm going to give those of you that live outside the city a lot of grace and say, I'm going to give you an excuse, a real excuse. We're coming down towards the end. We're in the birth canal. I don't believe, because of Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, war with the prophecies that go before you. There are 5 on-campus services that take place here a week. And again, it doesn't affect, it's okay with me. If you're only hearing my voice and the prophecies and the power that is happening here only one time a week for 2 hours and then we're out. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's going to be hard for you to keep a real pulse on revival and what is going on and where God is taking us. But more important than that, it's going to be hard for you to get all of everything that is being produced to keep everybody in a place where they're not just winning, they're winning big. And I said the disclaimer for all of you that live a long ways, I know that's a major deal. But here's to you too. Here's what I would suggest. There's series going on Wednesday nights. Me and my sister laughed the other day. She said, you're always going to come back to that one thing, pray and pray and pray. She's right. But in these series, there are prophetic words. The last 6 months has been teaching on Ephesians, on warfare, and how we're going to be able to win in this warfare. And it's things I've never heard before because I'm getting it on a continual basis as I spend the hours in prayer. I'm telling you, in the end, the closer we get, the gravitational pull will be to be more in what He's doing. And there's things available to you if you can't make it, if you can't be, but I'm telling you, it's not segregation, it's congregation that He wants. There are groups of people, and we're not even trying to tailor ourselves after them, but they've got round the clock. Listen, the closer we get to revival, there won't be five services here, there'll be a continual service here. And it's going to be important for all of you to judge yourself and say, what do I need to be doing by the mind of Christ? Because it's not just your physical presence, it's you hearing. When you're not getting those prophecies, when you're not getting that teaching, when you're not getting everything that is available to you, you can win as long as you're having a real extensive personal prayer life yourself. But then again, that'll just bring you right back in here. Does everybody understand how much I love you? We're headed towards revival. Hallelujah to God. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Would you please stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I also want to say, along with what I just said, that as I was saying, there's no inner circle. There's no, those of you that know anything about what goes on here, it's all by His grace. If you're just coming as a visitor once a month, if you're courting this place, we love to see you. If you're just coming occasionally, you're going to receive a blessing. And everything that we have is available to you. The things that the Holy Spirit was speaking at the end is towards those who have ears to hear and are going in and saying, Lord, I want to hear everything that You have to say. I want to receive all the dividends of it in His last days. So I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to release you in the Spirit. Thank You for coming today. Thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. We love You so much. We love You so much. We just commit all these into You. Thank You for the joy of Your Spirit that we felt in this day. And the peace of God. And for the miracle that was in front of us, Lord, with a child. Now bless all these who've come. Bless them in their going. Bless them, Lord, in their returning. We commit them unto You and unto Your grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you leave.